There was a Nobel laureate in quantum physics from 1965 called Richard Feynman. He was a man dedicated to understanding the vast majority of things, understanding things that the vast majority of us could ever hope to understand. Even he didn't fully understand some of the things that he studied, because he said at some point, "I think I can safely say that nobody understands quantum mechanics," and that was his field of study. One day, he wrote to the mother of Marcus Chone, saying, "Ignore your son's attempts to teach you physics. Physics is not the most important thing. Love is." Well, that's an interesting thing. Dr. Feynman was an atheist, and yet even he could recognize the importance that love has in our lives. If you study his life at all, you realize, or at least his personal life, you might realize that it might have taken him a long time to have learned that particular lesson, that love is the most important thing rather than physics. And when one reads the Bible, it's difficult to escape that same conclusion, that love is a very important concept, in fact, the most important concept. It's so important that Jesus, when he was tested by a lawyer concerning the law, he reiterated two of the greatest commands in the law of Moses. We talked about that a little bit in Mark chapter 12, but it's also in Matthew chapter 22. That these two greatest commands in the law of Moses, he says that in verse 40, chapter 22 and verse 40, that they hang all the law and the prophets. These two commands, or all the commandments of the law, are depend upon these two great commands. In other words, every single commandment could be categorized under these two commands: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And number two, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And again, we see that in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 39. While it is certain that Dr. Feynman's understanding of love was very different than our Lord's, I mean, that goes without saying, I am impressed with the priority that Feynman actually finally placed on this important concept. When he earned his doctoral degree, he was 24 years old, and he married his high school sweetheart, knowing that she had been diagnosed with tuberculosis, which had no cure at the time. And she died a few years later. What love he must have had for her. Perhaps he regretted not being able to marry her sooner, I don't know. He also married again after his first wife died in 1952, but his wife divorced him a few years later. One of her complaints was that he was constantly doing math problems, from the moment he woke up to the moment he lay down to sleep. He was obsessed with his work at this particular time in his life. While we as Christians ought to be more cautious when we marry, very cautious when we marry somebody, we can still make our spouse uncomfortable, make our spouse miserable. Feynman made his second wife miserable because his mind was never with her, never spent a time with her. He was one of the most intelligent men ever to have lived. And yet he couldn't even manage to get his marriage to work. Why? Why do you think that is? Maybe because he didn't make it a priority like he should have. In today's culture, where we're constantly plugged in, we've got emails and texts, and we're on our phones and calling people and texting and all sorts of things. We're on Facebook, and even now we're on Facebook. But we're on all sorts of different things. Oftentimes, spending time with them rather than with our families. There needs to be quality time spent as often as we can with our spouses and with our families, where we set the phone down, set the remote down, the TV down, Just ignore some of that stuff and spend time together. Peter states that husbands ought to dwell with their wives with understanding. We see in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. We can't do this if we're constantly distracted by all the electronics and other things going on in the room or in our lives. By his third marriage, by Dr. Feynman's third marriage in 1960, it would appear that Feynman finally learned the lesson that he wrote to Mrs. Chone, that physics is not the most important thing, love is. For most of us, I mean, let's be honest, we don't care about physics at all, or at least not the equations that we can figure things out with regard to physics. But our careers, our jobs, perhaps do matter to us, or maybe we're in school, that matters to us. Maybe we are doing all sorts of other things that matter to us, our hobbies, our other activities. And especially with our jobs, it's how we earn a living so that we can take care of our families. And some of us are even lucky enough to have jobs that we enjoy. Yet we must still make time for our families. Feynman's third marriage, Dr. Feynman's third marriage, lasted until he finally passed away in 1988. They had two children, one of which was adopted. He finally learned what the most important thing was. As Christians, we should already know what the most important thing is. We should be careful about the type of person that we marry and make sure that it's for life. I'm not condoning all the things that Dr. Feynman did here. We should marry, and we should marry for life. But it took Feynman 42 years to figure out what the most important thing was. And he was one of the smartest men ever to have lived. For those of us who are Christians, it doesn't have to take us that long, does it? For the scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Dr. Feynman learned this the hard way, but we can learn it through the wisdom delivered to us in God's word. Let us love God, and let us love each other. And let us make the appropriate time for our families, because true love love is truly the most important thing. You know what? God loves you. And we should love him too. And one of the things that we can do in order to show our love for our God is to obey him, to do what he says we need to do in order to be saved. And what we need to do to be saved is, well, we need to love him. We need to have faith in him, believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? We need to believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he died for our sins. He loved us so much that he did that for us. What a wonderful thing. What an amazing thing that he did for us. And then we've got to repent of our sins. Man, sin upsets God. It upsets him. It angers him. And if we love him, we're going to turn away from our sin, repent, and do what's right. Let's confess his name. Be baptized for the remission of our sins so that we can receive the gift of salvation that he so desperately wants to give us. If you are a Christian today, man, that's great. But some of us may be on a path that will lead us away from God. I encourage you, get back on that path. Get back on that path toward God. Tomorrow may be too late. I encourage you to repent of your sin and to pray God that he forgive you. Confess your sins to those if you find that necessary. Man, that is such an important thing for us to do. I encourage you to do that. Make things right with him. There'll be instructions on the screen for how you can let us know if you want to respond to this invitation. I encourage you to do that this evening. Please let us know as we sing this song.